Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Well, my name is Susan Bennett, and I am the original voice of Siri. And some of you are probably too young to even know that voice, but I was the first. And the reason that I ended up being the voice of Siri is that I am a voice actor. And I've been a voice actor for many, many years, decades, in fact. But I started off as a singer and a keyboard player. And I had no idea that I would ever be a voice actor. It sort of happened serendipitously, by accident, happy accident. I was singing a jingle in a recording studio and the voice actor didn't show up to read the copy for the spot. So the studio owner said, "Susan, you don't have an accent. Come over here and read this copy." And that was the beginning of my career. So I'd have to say one thing about career day, all of you thinking about your future careers. Don't limit yourself. Try a lot of different things because you just never know where your career really will end up. So don't be afraid to experiment and to try a lot of different things. And I would have to say I'm very happy to have worked as a voice actor. There are a lot of different aspects to voice acting. Of course, you're familiar with radio and TV commercials and gaming and animation. There are also narrations for documentaries and films. And there are, you can do all kinds of educational readings. There's e-learning. And there are also difficult things like reading for medical scripts and medical education. So there is a huge field in which to play around if you're a voice actor. So I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Every day is different. But as with every career, it requires certain skills. So the better that you can read and read cold, if you know what I mean by that, meaning if you just pick up something and you can just read it without studying it first, that's also going to help you. But in quite a bit of the aspects of the voiceover field, you need to be an actor. So I always tell people if they want to be any sort of actor, and even a voice actor, it's very helpful to do improv classes. And in fact, improv classes will help you in any field that you choose, because it teaches you to think on your feet, to be quick, to think ahead. So that's a little summary of where I am, and I don't know where all of you are, except that thank you for joining today, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Absolutely. Do you think you could talk to the kids a little bit? I know, obviously, you talked a little bit about your background in music. I read in your bio that you worked with Burt Bacharach and Roy Orbison, rock and roll legend himself.
Yes.
What was that like, being able to learn from legendary musicians in a different, in an unrelated career altogether before doing voice work?
Well, in a sense, it wasn't completely out of my, you know, my purview, because I had done a lot of musical theater in high school and college. And so I was used to performing. I was used to being on stage. It's never been an issue for me. The thing that I loved about it is that being a backup vocalist, it's just 100% fun, because all you have to do is show up, do your job, sing in tune, and the rest of the performance really is up to the lead vocalist, or, you know, to Roy or Burt Bacharach. But it was a really fun experience for me, because not only did I get to sing, which I love to do, but I got to travel all over the world with these people. So it was a wonderful thing. Once again, I can't emphasize enough, don't limit yourself. Try all different things. And you just never know where you may, you know, find your little niche and where you belong.
That's great sound advice. And we have some student questions. Is it okay if we just jump into the student questions?
Absolutely.
All right. And
this is your program. I'm happy to help any way I can.
Well, we appreciate you. We just want you to be comfortable. We have a question from Mev. She's in Italy. And Mev, you can start us off. Go ahead and ask your questions.
Hi, Susan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. I would like to know, how does the process of recording your voice work? Is every single word you say recorded, or an entire sentences?
Now, are you speaking about the recordings for Siri?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'll tell you about those recordings. It's very interesting. I did mine starting in 2005. So that shows you a little bit of how many years the development of Siri was in the process. I worked for a company that's an IVR specialized company. IVR meaning interactive voice response. So all of the virtual assistants that you know, all of the GPS voices that you've heard come from these kind of recordings. And these recordings are different from any other scripts because they were created just for sound, not at all for meaning or content. So they were pretty strange. All of the sentences were just for sound. So I had to read things like, cow hoist in the tub hut today. Say schist fresh issue today. Fossa, ask fossa, ask fussy. And then there were the repetitive things to get different vowel sounds, like say the shrouding again, say the shredding again, say the shrouding again, say the shredding again, say the shredding again, say the shredding again. So these were very tedious recordings, as you can see. After the recordings were done, technicians and computers went into the recordings and extracted sounds, reformed these sounds into new phrases and sentences, and these are what ended up as Siri, Alexa, Cortana, the Google Voice, all the GPS voices. And it's an incredible process called concatenation. And so, yeah, there's a new vocabulary word for you. I thought they'd made it up for this process, but it's actually in the dictionary, and it means linking things together, which is what they did with the sounds that they took out of the recordings.
We have a question emailed to me from a student in France, and they want to know, it seems that I hear your voice almost everywhere. Could you have ever imagined this when you were younger, that you would hear your own voice pretty much all around?
No, it's very strange, actually. When I found out that I was Siri, I listened, you know, people said, did you talk to yourself on the iPhone? No. It was way too creepy. I was used to hearing my voice on radio and TV commercials and that sort of thing. And some documentaries and such. But to have this little computerized phone with my voice on it talking back to me, that was just too much. So yes, it's been a very unusual experience, and it did take me a little while to adjust.
It does seem a little wild, because I've heard your voice on airplanes, I think airports, even my home security system here is your voice.
Yes.
And it's just kind of all over the place. Yes. We have a question from Pablo in Spain, and he has specifically a question about the process of becoming a voice actor.
Okay. Well, Pablo, hola.
Hello. Yes, my question is there any specific process to become a professional voice actor, or is it more a job that maybe appeared to you like an opportunity that it was for you?
No, it's a career that people do just specifically go into. And if you would like to send me an email, I would send you a doc that I put together. In fact, maybe I could just send it to Ralph and he can send it out to whoever.
Absolutely. I can send that to everyone on here.
Yeah. I put a doc together that explains how to become a voice actor in the digital age. Because when I became a voice actor, the process of getting jobs, getting work was very different. To this day, you still have to come up with a demo. And different from the past, you have to come up with a demo for each aspect of voiceover. First of all, you need a commercial demo. You need a demo for narrations, an animation demo, e-learning, all of these different things you should have separate demos for. And so it's very helpful to get a voice coach, someone that is in the business, someone that can help you put together a demo. But most of the actual work is done via the internet through different production companies like Voice123, voices.com. And so basically for you personally, starting your own voiceover career, you can do it from your home. You need a smartphone, some sort of mixer. There's a little tiny mixer called a mixer face that you can get. You need a good microphone and a closet, someplace that's quiet for you to record. And in the day when I built my own studio, it cost me thousands of dollars to build a studio. Today, you need much less. You can do it with your smartphone and just a couple of other items. So as I said, for any of you who are really seriously looking into this, please let Ralph know, let me know, and I will send you the doc that I put together.
Absolutely. And those of you who are interested, so we have a specific group, I'll put my email out in the chat and you guys can send an email to me, those of you who'd like this document. We have Sarah in Barcelona, and she has it's kind of along these lines, this question. Go ahead and unmute, Sarah. You had a pretty good question.
Hi, I have a question. Do you have a favorite job, like a voice actor, or you doesn't matter?
Well, I really love doing voice work. And so I guess if I had to pick a favorite job, it would be doing character voices, just because that's so much fun. And these days, because the trends in advertising are different all the time, the commercials that you hear now are very, very different from the time in which I was doing tons of commercials. That's a couple of decades ago, actually, when I was doing tons of commercial work. There's a different approach, a different sound that people are using. Back in the day, they used to do a lot of commercials with voices, a lot of different voices. So I had a chance to do a lot of funny sounding voices, or a person like this, the evil queen, and things like that. And I don't get to do as much of that now. I knew that when I revealed myself as the voice of Siri, that I would become typecast, stereotyped. We humans like to do that for some reason. And I knew that once I revealed myself as the voice of Siri, that's how people would see me and think of me. So as a result, in the last few years, I've mostly done Siri types of voices. And you can hear my voice in a Transformers movie, and I played the submarine in the movie, The Meg. And so everyone is wanting that type of voice. So I will have to say I've been fortunate enough to like just about every job I've had to do. But I did turn down a request from the Nuance company, the IVR company, for whom I read what became Siri. I turned them down for a 5-year contract reading those scripts because I'd had enough of it. You know, it's very, very tedious work. And when I was reading those crazy sentences like cow hoist in the tub hut today, I did that for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for an entire month. And that was enough.
I can imagine. You said the process took a really long time. And I mean, you have such an eclectic background that we have a question, and this is along the lines of a student in France asked this question, but it seems like I hear your voice even when I'm not intending it. Like, what are some places that have you heard your own voice when you're out and about, or how does that happen?
Yeah, sometimes, of course, I haven't been out and about for over a year now, but I have heard my voice. And it is kind of strange. I'm the global voice of Delta Airlines gates. So worldwide, you'll hear my voice. Welcome to Delta Airlines. I'm so sorry, you're in row Z.
That would just be too tempting to mess with people. I don't think I could handle that responsibility.
Well, I do have a great sense of humor, but I'm not cruel.
with great power comes great responsibility, huh?
Right.
So we have Giorgio in Italy. We'll go with a couple more student questions, then we'll let you go. But Giorgio, you had a pretty interesting question. Go ahead and ask.
So hi, initially. It's a pleasure to meet you. And I was wondering, can you add like additional voice effects like reverbs or delays post recording to send a demo?
Yes, if you have the technical capability, I think you can, but it's probably good to use whatever equipment that you think you're going to be using in the future. For instance, if you have, you know, your smartphone and you've got your mixer and your microphone and your closet, and you're recording something, you know, it's probably best to do, to have the same kind of sound that you're going to have for future jobs. But having said that, it's always best to put forth the best possible quality that you can. And you have to realize that if you're going to be competing against thousands of people. Back when I used to do a lot of commercial work, the process was the client would go to your agent and describe what they needed for their product, for their commercial. And the agent would pick 10 or 15 people to audition. And so you had a really good chance out of 10 or 15 people, you had a good chance to win that audition. Now, because you don't ever really know how many people are receiving that audition request, you have no idea how many people are going to be competing for that role. For instance, I have a friend who is an excellent voice actor, and he's also works for an advertising agency, talk about having it all. And he said, would you like to guess how many people auditioned for this little tiny job in Alabama that was running, that was going to pay like $150 American dollars? And I thought, I said, I don't know, 100? He said, try 300. 300 people were auditioning for a $150 gig. So the competition is really, really stiff. There's a lot of it. And so it behooves you, as you're starting out, to do the very, very best you possibly can. On the other hand, don't do something that you can't follow up on. You know, you could have this big, stellar, fabulous, you know, demo that somebody's auto-tuned or something. And then when you show up for the gig and you can't, you know, you've got to be able to be what you're presenting. So.
So we have one final student question. This is from Ms. Holznick's class here in Nevada, and I'll go ahead and I'll unmute you guys. You guys should be able to ask. There you go.
Hi, great, thank you so much. We had a student here who was asking, what was your first and what was your most recent voice job?
Oh boy, you know, I don't think I can remember my first one. Actually, my first one was the one that they said, Susan, the voice actor didn't show up, so would you please read this? And of course, sadly, I can't remember what that commercial was for. So, but that was the first one, and that was in the late 70s. So yes, I was two when I did that. The last one was actually, well, I work for a company that does a lot of messaging, and that's probably why you think you've heard my voice a lot, and you probably have. Because they do a lot of messaging for different companies. So that was the last one.
Well, before we let you go, first of all, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And again, we're going to have the recording available for all the students, and you guys have my email there. So feel free to reach out. Before we let you go, is there any advice that you could give to these kids? As you, I mean, you set out your career in the music industry and then you wound up everywhere. What kind of advice could you give to them if they set out into this world, even if they don't intend on going into voice acting? What advice could you give to them?
Well, I would just have to say once again, don't limit yourself in different things that you try. You know, especially the younger you are, you've got all this time to experiment with different things and find out your own strengths and weaknesses. And you have to be realistic about who you are. I mean, if you're, you know, 20 years old and you're only 5'2", you're probably not going to be, you know, a model, you know, a runway model. So you have to be, you have to know yourself a bit and understand who you are and what your talents are, what your gifts are. And we all have them and they're all very different. So you really have to get to know yourself pretty well and figure out what you like. Those of us who get to do jobs that have our work as something that we love, that is just the absolute best, you know, because if you hate your job, many times your job, depending on what it is, can take up to 90% of your life. And if you, so that means if you hate your job, you hate your life. So if you can, try to find something that you can use as your career and way of making a living, making your way in life, as something that you enjoy. So just be aware as you go through different classes that you're taking in school. You try different things. Try different things that you think maybe aren't for you. And just get to know yourself and know your strengths and weaknesses. And all I can say is try different things and do improv classes. You'll be way ahead of the game if you figure out how to do improv.